Actor Mark Evan Jackson is known for playing serious, often stern characters on some of TV's funniest comedies, like Sean, the all-knowing judge of the afterlife on NBC's The Good Place.
Thank you for these testimonials. A ruling has been reached. Oh, you want to hear it. I forgot how needy humans are.
But before he made it big in L.A., Jackson got his comedy upbringing right here in Michigan. Michigan Radio's April Van Buren talked to Mark Evan Jackson about how his roots here have influenced his career.
Well, first of all, Mark Evan Jackson, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much. Yes.
So you have worked on a lot of very funny shows. You've been on Reno 911, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn 99, and right now you play the character of Sean on one of my favorite TV shows, which is NBC's The Good Place. And you've called this show the smartest, dumbest show on television. And I'm wondering, for people who haven't seen the show, explain a little bit what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is that The Good Place on NBC, Thursdays, 8:30, 7:30 Central, is that within an episode of the show, within the body of the show, within single lines of dialogue, this show deals with fairly deep and complicated aspects of ethical and moral philosophy, and also fart jokes. I meet people in airports and restaurants from all over the map, age-wise, demographic-wise. Everyone can find something in the show because it's so silly and yet it's so smart.
And so you were born in Buffalo, New York, so you're not a native Michigander, but you moved here to attend Calvin College in Grand Rapids, and you actually graduated with a degree in philosophy. How did you make the leap from philosophy to comedy?
That leap happened very gradually and through a series of honestly very happy accidents. I had no intention of becoming an actor. I did a play in high school, and I did some things. I did a lot of music growing up. I had no intention of becoming an actor, really. And it was just by exploring things and saying a lot of yes. The day after I graduated from Calvin, I was a deckhand on the schooner Malabar in Traverse City, Michigan, in Lake Michigan. The year after that, I was the first mate of the schooner Mercantile in Camden, Maine. I came back to Grand Rapids and ran a fancy restaurant. I was the assistant manager at Gibson's on Lake Drive in Grand Rapids. After that, I went to work for On the Town magazine, selling and designing advertising, and then got a job in public radio. And it was all through just saying yes to things and exploring opportunities that I was asked to become the accompanist for an alumni improv company from students at Calvin called River City Improv. And I was truly at that first rehearsal of River City Improv to play the piano, and had this giant epiphany moment and thought, oh man, we have to find somebody else to come and play the piano because I want to do what those guys are doing for the rest of my time on the planet. They were the cleverest and smartest and most collaborative and funniest people in the world. And that's how that was my in. So I started improvising with them. And then when I was working for a national public radio affiliate in West Michigan, WGVU, the touring company of the Second City Detroit came through town and I had them on my morning show. That I was producing at the time. And I told their producer, if you ever hold auditions, please let me know. And he did.
So after River City Improv, you head to Detroit. You join Second City there. You know, Detroit doesn't have a Second City anymore. But I'm wondering, what was the comedy scene like in Detroit at that time? Because you do have a lot of comedians coming out of the city.
For sure. The Second City in Detroit in the, you know, sort of early to mid 90s and then lasting into the 2000s was the birthplace of a lot of great and scrappy comedians. A lot of the people that were there at that time have gone on to success in television and film. And people often ask us what was in the drinking water in Detroit in the late 90s, because our hit rate, our success rate is pretty decent ratio. And what it was is that the Second City in Toronto and the Second City in Chicago, those cities both have tourist bases. People go to those cities on purpose for fun. That wasn't the case in Detroit in the late 90s. So in Toronto and Chicago, the Second City can write a new review, write a new show, and have it up for a year. In Detroit, we would write a new review, and it would be well-attended for a month and a half, 2 months, and then our audiences would peter out because everybody in the metro area that wanted to see the show had seen the show, and there was not the tourist base to come and see these reviews. So we would write 2 and 3 and 4 shows a year, and got good at it. It was sort of a Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours, just doing it, getting more reps, more time on task. And I really think that that taught each of us to be creative and to be prolific, to never let the kernel of an idea go, to file it away somewhere and say, it may not be right for this scene or for this show, but I'm going to use it somewhere. And it made us scrappy. It made us really, you know, sort of hungry and prolific writers and creators.
And I know that you actually have some other Second City Detroit alums in LA, and you guys get together and perform still. Why are you still so connected to that Detroit group?
Because Detroit was an island in the late 90s, all we had was each other. So the Detroit improv and comedy community is really tight. And these are people that, you know, it felt like we went through boot camp or graduate school in comedy and life together. Detroit was a different place than it is now in 1997. So we really hung out together, and these are people for whom you'd walk into fire. These are people that will be lifelong friends. Improvisation breeds that brand of friendship to begin with. It sort of deconstructs you, and you do this together. So you're being vulnerable in front of other people, and I think that those who are able to allow themselves to be that vulnerable make lifelong friends. And so, yes, we have a company out here, in fact, named the 313. We've named ourselves after the area code of the city of Detroit, and we still get together and improvise, and it's people that were in Detroit in the late 90s.
In addition to just having improv alum from Second City Detroit, The Good Place specifically has a lot of Michigan connections. You have the show's main character, Eleanor, played by Kristen Bell, who's from Metro Detroit. You have Mike Schur was born here in Ann Arbor. And you have the University of Michigan Law School making an appearance in the first season and in one of the first couple episodes. Is there some sort of magnetic attraction that brought all of these sort of Michiganders, people with roots in Michigan, together on this one show?
If there's a connection to Michigan that's cosmic, I'm not sure what it is, but it does seem as though there is some connective tissue. Mike Schur, as you say, has these roots. His father went to U of M Law School, and he was born in Ann Arbor. Kristen Bell is from Huntington Woods, right by the zoo. Mary Beth Monroe, who plays Mindy St. Clair, is from Fraser. She's from the northeast side of Detroit. I obviously lived in what we are now calling Midtown Detroit. I lived right behind the Majestic. We called it the Cass Corridor at the time. That apparently has been changed. But it really does have these interesting connective roots, and it's stuff that we talk about. I mean, it comes up on the podcast that I host for NBC, and it comes up, you know, just sitting in our chairs between takes. We talk a lot about, you know, our favorite parts of living in Detroit and which Coney Island is the best.
So which Coney Island is the best, in your opinion?
Well, it's obviously, I don't want to start a firestorm, but it's Lafayette.
So actually, I want to talk about a project that you are involved in Detroit. You co-founded the Detroit Creativity Project, which is an improv program for kids in Detroit schools. Tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
My wife, Beth Hagenlocker, and I co-founded the Detroit Creativity Project back in 2012. In 2011, we got together with a lot of our friends out here, a lot of Detroit expatriates who live in Los Angeles, and there are hundreds of them. And we got together and said, we want to be part of the renewal in Detroit. We want to be part of the renaissance and the rebirth of this great city that we all love so much. And at the time, Mayor Dave Bing had said, you know, he would run into anybody anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, and say, move to Detroit, bring your business to Detroit, open a business in Detroit. And so we looked for opportunities together to give back. And we hosted a number of parties at our house and just to spitball and brainstorm. And it became clear early on that the connective tissue for all of us, the common denominator and the thing that was so vital and valuable in each of our lives, was improvisation. And that's what taught us all to be so collaborative and so creative and to not fear failure and to embrace the unknown. And so we wanted to share that with a generation younger than ours. The goal of the Detroit Creativity Project has never been to create actors and comedians. If that's a side effect that takes place, that's great. But everyone in the world should improvise, whether you're, you know, in business or in medicine or a teacher yourself. Everybody should learn to embrace failure. And once you learn to improvise well, you learn to collaborate. You learn to say a lot of yes. You learn to work together and to set aside your own ego. It makes you less defensive. It makes you more curious. It makes you more confident. So we wanted to share that with students in Detroit. So the Detroit Creativity Project and our flagship program, the Improv Project, teaches improvisation in Detroit middle and high schools. And we have summer programs as well. We teach in a number of different community centers. But it's a really valuable, life-affirming, super confidence-building program that helps with interview skills for schools, interview skills for jobs, and just makes your life generally better.
And one of the interesting things about the project, too, is you've actually partnered with University of Michigan researchers to look at the social and psychological benefits of learning improv. So what do students or kids or adults get out of improv training, even if they're not going to go into a career in comedy?
We did a two-year study with researchers from the University of Michigan, and what was fascinating is that they used legitimate scientific details to have students identify their own characteristics coming in. And we learned that at the beginning of a 10-week program, lots of our students self-identified for social phobia, social anxiety, and even depression. And with class in improv 1 hour a week for 10 weeks, at the end of that, a statistically significant reduction had happened. These kids felt more confident. They felt more self-assured. They felt more confident being in front of an audience. Public speaking wasn't something that they feared as much. They didn't fear not knowing the answer. They got curious and learned how to get to the answer.
So obviously Second City Detroit is no more, but I'm wondering if you're hoping, you know, obviously not all of your students are going to go into comedy, but are you hoping that some of them maybe take up the mantle of improv in Detroit?
We do. We're very hopeful that there will be a new generation and a more diverse generation of improvisers. Traditionally, improvisation has been dominated by white men, and that certainly is changing in Detroit. And of course, we want Detroit to be reflected in that. We want improvisation in Detroit to look like Detroit. So we've already done it. We have alumni that have gone on to improvise in places like Ferndale at Go Comedy and at Planet Ant in Hamtramck. It was very exciting. A couple of years ago, we did a big holiday fundraiser at the DIA in the Detroit Film Theater. And some of our students from Southeastern Fairview Academy and from Hutchinson Middle School came. And we were able to tour the exhibit on a Saturday night before Christmas with some of our students and with some of the celebrities that had come in to be part of the show. And it was so exciting to have Tim Meadows and Keegan-Michael Key say to these students, middle school and high school students, wow, you guys are improvising at 14, 15, 16 years old. You have a giant head start on me. I didn't start improvising till I was 25. And to see these kids' eyes light up and saying, I have a head start on Tim Meadows, I have a head start on Keegan-Michael Key, it was really pretty wonderful to witness.
Mark Evan Jackson plays Sean on NBC's The Good Place, which is currently in its third season. He is also the founder of the Detroit Creativity Project, an improv program for students in Detroit. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been really nice talking with you. Thank you very much.